Okay, maybe because I wasn't as enthusiastic. You guys weren't either. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, gosh. You guys don't know the day I have had. Just ended up leaving work because I just did not feel well. But God is good. I am here. God's word will go forth. In Jesus' name. But before we get started, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together today in your house and also via Facebook and any other means that it's being this word will come through and be listened. Lord, I ask that you give me the correct words to say, that I only say what you want me to say. And Lord, I just thank you for just being the awesome God that you are, being a healer and a protector, Lord Jesus, a comforter, and allowing me and others to have a sound mind. I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today I am going to talk about godly prosperity. Of course, it was another title, but on the way here, the Lord likes to do this to me. But he's good and it makes sense. You know, because when I was doing this and I'm reading it and I'm studying and I'm typing it, I'm like, Lord, this just sounds like jumbled up stuff. I'm really not getting it. And then he gave me the title and I got it. So, all right, and we'll be coming from 3 John 1 and 2. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. We talk about prosperity a lot, you know, but what does it really mean to be prosperous or to prosper? And according to Merriam-Webster, to prosper means to thrive, which also means to grow vigorously. I mean, think about that, vigorously. I think about when I put my protein drink in the little shaker bottle. And if you don't shake it well, you're going to get that thick stuff in there. So I'm just really shaking it and shaking and shaking. I'm thinking, Lord, that is how you bless. That is how we prosper. I mean, it's just amazing because it's like thrown at us, you know, when we follow his word and follow him. But it also means to flourish. And flourishing just means to reach a desired level of accomplishment. Isn't that good? Don't you like to reach a goal that you have set for yourself? I set lots of goals. I reach them sometimes, most times. Sometimes I get sidetracked. Of course, you guys probably understand that. But to know that God wants to prosper us or to get us to that desired level of accomplishment, that just means so much. And when you think about other ways to think about prospering is to succeed, to excel, to win, to prevail, which also means to win. So God wants us to win. That he is so for us that everything that we do according to his word, he wants to bless it. You know, and so I love that where I am now. You know, I've always believed in God. I've always believed his word was true. I've always gone to church. You know, my grandfather was a minister. He pastored 2 churches. So I was in the church, but the church wasn't in me. So although I knew the word and I knew how good God was, I didn't actually know until like now. These past few years have been amazing for me, and I've seen more is more growth, you know, more success in reaching goals that I set, you know, before me. And I know that is all because of God. That is not anything I can do myself. So success or to succeed just means to attain a favorable or desired outcome. In essence, prosperity is success, you know? When God says he wants to prosper you, he's saying that he wants you to succeed. He wants you to excel. He wants you to win. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." In other words, if God said it, then it is so. Period. Why? Because if he says he wants to prosper you, or he wants you to succeed, trust and believe that's exactly what will happen. Because our God is a faithful God, and our God does not lie. So, you know, a lot of times people think of prosperity as fame and fortune. Fame and money. It's all about how much money can I make. But prosperity is really about finding success in all of the areas in your life, to include your health, your relationships, whether they be at home, at work, outside of work, here in the church, in the body. It could be your prayer life and your finances. So it encompasses all of that. It is not just about what kind of money you can make and who's all about you. And so our health is not just about the physical. Our emotional, our mental, and our financial health is included in this. And all, not some, but all of these things matter to God. They are important to him, that you prosper in your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health, and your financial health. And so one of the things I like to do is watch My 600-Pound Life, because I like to watch surgeries. And I like to, and I know it's weird, but I also, the Lord, I like to say blessed, because some people say that they're cursed with this or they're cursed with that, but I like to think that I'm blessed. So I'm blessed with an analytical mind. So I'm gonna analyze everything that I see. And so I'm always looking to see why they did what they did, you know? And I want to use this reference because the mental, physical, emotional, financial, all of that is tied in together on these shows. And so when I watch them, usually the root of their eating disorder is physical or mental abuse. Someone has done something to them. And so then after that, they're trying to take control of some aspect in their life. And what can they control? What they eat. So they just keep taking it in to where they end up overdoing it. And at that point, they become so heavy that they can't do things for themselves. So that takes a physical toll on them. So their physical health is affected, and most of them can't work. So then now we got the financial aspect of that. You know, so, you know, and I just, like I said, I analyze everything. I just want to see, you know, and sometimes that mental thing is so deeply rooted that it's hard for them to get out of that, even after they've accomplished the goal that they set out to do. Their goal is to get weight loss surgery. So some of them fight really hard to get to that point. You know, they'll lose the weight, but then their cravings come, or these things, and then they fall, and then they try it again. Then they finally get to where they need to be to get the surgery. They get the surgery, and they're still not happy. You know, they're like, okay, I did what I needed to do, but this is not what I thought it was gonna be. You know, but in that, I believe that you have got to not depend on yourself, and you depend on God. So that, because that's not what the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live where we seek him, and then he can give us an overflow of blessings. So Psalm 118 and 8 says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Or Carla's version is, "Trust God and not your own flawed self." That's my version of it. That's the way I see it. Because when you're trusting in yourself, you're gonna miss out on something. you're going to mess up. But if you trust in God to guide you and set you on the right path, then everything is just going to fall in order. Now, that's not to say that some things may not go, you know, one way or the other, but that's where your faith has to come in. That's where your belief in God has to come in. You have to trust Him in all things, whether good or bad. That is something that I have learned, that I would look at things and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, you said you would not leave me nor forsake me. Have you left me? Because I'm not feeling this right now. And you know, and every time He's like, no, I haven't. But you know, sometimes no is an answer. You have to accept it. And so I've learned to accept that no is an answer. All right. And so that also got me to thinking about social media. You know, I mean, you can try as you might, but you will not get away from social media. It's everywhere. Like, even commercials promote social media, you know. But social media is good and it's bad. You just have to know how to use it the proper way. And so to me, a lot of people on social media, not all, but a lot of people on social media are doing the opposite of Psalm 118 and 8. They're thinking about themselves. The thing that they're doing is they're putting their confidence in man. Oh, how many likes can I get? How many people can I get to follow me? Because if I get all of these likes and all of these followers, then I'm prosperous. But that is earthly prosperity. That is not godly prosperity, especially if you're not doing it the right way. Because what I'm seeing is that there are some people who are, if they don't get the likes and the followers that they want, they'll go do something that is not so godly, just so that they can get those things. And then some of them who don't get likes or followers and stuff, they tend to have mental breakdowns because they can't understand why people don't like me. You know, and so I was just like, you know what? You have to protect your soul. When you're on social media, you really have to protect your soul. And Psalm 119 and 133 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's the King James. The Amplified Version says, establish my footsteps in the way of your word. Do not let any human weakness have power over me, causing me to be separated from you. God is there when you are not feeling your best, but you don't need to do things that are going to separate you from Him.
That's right.
And so, you know, and God's grace is sufficient. It says so in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. It says, God's grace is sufficient for me, and His power is perfect through my weakness. And so when those mental things come about, this is where you need to go. You need to go to God, not to people, not to social media. You know, God does put people, call therapists out there who will keep your business private. You can do that, you know, but putting everything out there on social media is not the way to go. So recently I had a few health concerns that, you know, didn't have the best outcome, you know. They were talking about things like prediabetes and all of those things. And it really got me concerned. And they sent me to a class so that I could learn how to get out of that area so that I won't fall into being a diabetic. And so I was the only one in the class that was in the pre-diabetic stage. And I started listening to everyone in the room who were talking about how they had to prick their fingers every day, or they were up, you know, they were just sore, or all of these things. And my mind was just like, Lord, we cannot get here. People with diabetes, you are strong. You are brave. Because of everything that I heard in that class, I was like, okay, Lord, I see where you want, what you want. I see this. And so with all of the other things, there were so many things that were wrong. I decided to sow a seed for my health. And I said, Lord, I have an expectation of healing. I have that expectation. And so I sowed the seed, went to all of my appointments, every single one of them. I started looking at my paycheck like, I don't even know why I go to work, because I'm in the doctor's office more than I'm at work, you know. But God, I got all of that done. I got my report. The mass on my pituitary, so the brain MRI that was done, and the thyroid ultrasound that was done, showed that neither one of the masses have grown. God is good. God is good. I had to do some stomach things, and it just showed that if I change my diet, it can't be cured, but it can be managed. All I have to do is change my diet, you know. And the other thing with the pre-diabetes, my doctor said, you don't need to be on medication. You just need diet and exercise, and we'll revisit this later. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. But here's what's funny, because the naysayers, those who are not in Christ, would be like, I thought you said you prayed for healing. I thought you were going to get healing. You sowed a seed. And to me, it's in James 2 and 26, it says, faith without works is dead. I have to do my part. You know? If I want God to accomplish the things that he sets out to do, I have to do my part. And so my physical health is so much better now. My blood pressure is down. You know, just everything is just so awesome. And so I thank God for that. But it's because I'm following God's way, God's recipe, like I like to call it. His recipe for prosperity is awesome. Oh, that should have been a title. But, you know, my health, it is prospering. My health is flourishing. My health is getting better. It is going to reach that desired level of accomplishment that I am setting out for. So I am believing, I am stating that I am healed. I got that from Miss Sandy. She just kept telling me, you are, was that Miss Sandy or was that you with Miss Carol? Okay, everybody tells me, so, you know. But they kept telling me, you are healed, not you're getting healed, not you're going to be healed. You are healed. So now I just say I am healed no matter what is going on. You know, I'm healed. I'm healed, you know. And so I will continue to say that until everything is done. And so after all of that, I was like, what is the best way to achieve prosperity? Trust in God. Follow his commands. It's that simple. That simple. I was like, wow. It took all of this studying to figure that one out. But it's true. Proverbs 3:5-6 in the New Living Translation says, trust in God with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And I do find that I, because of my pastor's preaching this all the time, I seek God before all things, everything. I seek God which way to go home after work. I seek God in what to wear. I seek God in, you know, should I take a vacation or not? Thank God he approved a couple of them. Because I love my vacation. I even ask him if what to eat. Like, I really do find myself asking. And then when someone else is like, I don't know what decision to make, I'm like, ask God. He'll direct your path. You know, a little side journey on that. Crystal, she is doing her externship. And she was struggling with people talking to her in a certain way that she didn't feel was, or as she likes to say, my mama don't even talk to me like that. That's usually what she says. And so she was like, I don't know what to do. I said, ask God. God will direct you in how to handle that situation. You know, I said, I can give you advice, but ultimately you need to seek God first. And she did that, and they, you know, she ended up getting compliments from the doctor and different things. Like, and they keep asking her, do you want a job? Do you want a job? She was like, yeah, no, not here. But, you know, God set that, the tone in the office, set that atmosphere for her because she sought, decided to seek him first, you know. But also, you know, we have to, Psalms 32 and 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He is watching down. He is looking at us, and he is just sending us in the right path. And here's something that I thought was funny. I know I keep having side journeys, but the Lord keeps bringing things to my remembrance. So Quincy and I, we met each other 28 years ago. And when I graduated high school, I had a choice to go to two different colleges. And I had an ex-boyfriend who told me that he was pretty much gonna stalk me if I went to this one school. So I changed my mind and went to another school. And the funny thing is that Quincy was going to go to that same exact school I was gonna go to, but yet he changed his mind. And then he ended up going to the school that I went to only like a year later. And I said, you know what? God had a path for us. We were supposed to meet. It's just that we kind of took a detour, you know? So instead of going on the path that he had for me and trusting him that everything would be okay, I veered off and went another direction. It was not a good decision at all. I'm just disappointed in myself in that one because I had a great opportunity and I blew it. I really did. But God still blessed. He's still blessed. Here we are 28 years later and we're still together, and we're still accomplishing what God wants us, and we're still prospering. Like, we look at how neither one of us have a college education. Well, he does now. My turn. I start school next month. But, you know, it's just that because we're letting God guide us, you know, even though we took a different path than we probably should have, God still brought it together and still directed us. And so we're still moving forward in his desired time. And I keep telling Quincy that, like, we have to do things in God's time. You know, he's ordering our steps. We just have to be patient and wait. So that's what we're doing now. And again, Psalm 119 and 133 in the King James Version says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So I want you to remember that we are not like everyone else. We're not. We can't do what everyone else does. You know, once you decide to follow God, all those old things have to go away. And I know that when we first start to follow God, we have, you know, it's a process. You know, no one expects you to jump off the deep end, like, you know, but if that's the way God sees fit for you to do it, then it's going to happen. You know, everyone's pace is not the same. And so with that, I wanted to read 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10 in the King James Version. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy by now, but now have obtained mercy. And so I was like, a peculiar people. We're strange, guys. At least to everyone else. We're normal to us, but we are strange because we don't follow, you know, the world. And so I found it in the Message, which I really, really loved. It says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. I'm telling you, that spoke to me. It spoke volumes because the one thing I get when I go back home to visit, which I don't do often, but everyone's like, you are not the same person you were. And I was like, that is the best compliment you could ever give me. because I remember the person I was. She was not so nice. She was rude. She was mean. She was stubborn. She was all of those things. Like, she's still stubborn, but a good way, you know? She wasn't stubborn in a good way back in the day. But now she's stubborn because she will not change for someone else if it is not God, for God, you know? Like, I am me. I love who I am. And I had a friend, I love doing air quotes because I had a friend who told me when I decided that I was going to live for God and change, you know, my way of thinking, my way of doing, my way of being. She said, I don't like this new you. I said, oh, well, you better get used to it because she is not going away. I said, so you can either be here for the ride or you can get off at the next stop. It's up to you, because I'm just going to be me. So what's funny in that is that I've talked to her recently, and she was like, you still didn't change back, huh? I was like, nope. She said, you know, I found that you were right. So I've changed a lot of things about myself, and I see it in her, totally different. And she's happier. And that's what I told her. I said, I'm happier the way that I am. You know, I used to sit up and like literally tell myself, I don't like how we are. And yes, I talk in third person. I do not like how we are. We've got to change. And recently I've had some things going on in my family that is causing the old person to want to rise up. And I'm constantly in prayer to try to keep that person at bay because, you know, there's always can be something that can, you know, trigger those things to take you back to where you were. And I didn't like where I was then. And so now I'm learning peace. I'm learning how to protect my peace. It is all about protecting my peace right now. And it's so funny because it seems like every time you're trying to protect your peace, oh, it's something trying to come bulldoze that thing over. I'm telling you, at work, in my family, thank God it's not at home. I mean, it is crazy. I had one of my coworkers, I decorated. You know, I love fall. Fall's my favorite season. Oh my gosh, I love all of your seasons, Lord, but that's my favorite. And so I decorated, and everyone's coming in. Oh my gosh, it's so pretty. You have a gift, and this and that. Parents are all excited. One coworker tells another every coworker, that's so tacky. I said, I know this is just the enemy trying to get me out of my peace. That's all that is. And I said, okay, it's not going down. No, it's just going to be up there tacky. I know it's not tacky, you know, but I don't know. Like, she has it out for me right now. But I did find that I listened to my gospel music. I sit at the front of the office, but I work in the building part, and I put my earpiece in so I can't hear anyone. And it's just gospel music and Christian music and praise and worship and all of that going on in my head. And they'll catch me over there, like, you know, praising. And they're like, oh, there she goes again. I was like, protecting her peace. That's what they call it. I'm like, yes, I am protecting my peace. One of my cousins invited me to something next weekend. I'm going down to visit my mom. And I asked Quincy, I was like, I'm in turmoil right now. Should I go? He said, is it going to destroy your peace? I said, it's possible. He said, don't go. Even though it is your family, don't go. And so I thank God for that wisdom, because I promise you, I would have sat there and tried to be in the midst of all of that, and my peace would not have been protected at that point. So I know that was a lot, but that's just, I just want to show you how we are not the same. We are set apart from everyone else, and we have to practice things that are going to keep us apart so that we can continue to be prosperous. Because that, those little things can cause a setback.
That's right.
And so you don't want that. And so also, I'm going to give you Psalms 139 and 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy soul knoweth right well. And in the easy to read, I just love this. I thank you for the wonderful way you made me. I'm telling you, with all of my flaws. Everything you do is wonderful, and I know it's true. Think about that. He made you different. You're not supposed to be like the other person. You're not supposed to be, because you are fearfully, wonderfully made. You are unique. You are peculiar. You are different. Embrace that. Love that. And those who don't love that, they're not supposed to be there. Just pray for them. Pray for that they may find peace the way you have found peace. So that their hearts, their souls, their lives, their minds, their emotions, everything would prosper. God wants to prosper you. Are you ready to be led? Thank you.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.